Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Start off the message by challenging us not moms. All of us not moms. That you would today do your best to make today not just Mother's Day, but a happy Mother's Day. Because I think sometimes we forget that Mother's Day means automatically that moms are going to be happy. So let's do the dishes. Let's vacuum the floor. Let's fold the laundry. Actually, amen. So amen. I might be the only one doing this today. What else do we need to do? I don't know. Honeydew? There might be a list. Take out the trash. Come on, guys. Anything else? Nope. Let me nap. Amen. That was directed at you, Brother John. It was coming my way, but... Hey, guys. We need to make sure this is announced in junior church. We need to figure out how to get this message to junior church. Moms need a nap today. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen, moms. Now, some of you moms, you don't like napping. I can't understand that, but... I mean, maybe you're there, and that's okay. We'll try to just leave you alone or whatever, but sometimes that's what you want. Just leave me alone. Buy me a hotel room, and then let me just stay there by myself. That would be okay. But we are thankful for our moms, and although what we're going to talk about today is a choice we have to make, it's a choice that we have to make.
Yes, sir.
To understand the joy of whether it's motherhood or really just Christianity, specifically motherhood. Joy isn't a circumstance can't create joy. Let me say this, and please get this before we get into this today. If you're waiting for something to happen in your life before you're going to be joyful, then it could be that you're going to be waiting a long time. So how does joy happen then? Joy happens because a choice is made in your heart, and it begins with Jesus. It begins with Jesus. You know, I've heard it said by some who testify that when they came in and during the congregational, they had already been touched for months and weeks that they need to be saved. God's already been doing the work. And I'm thankful that God works in us like that, right? He doesn't give up on us. So this particular person came into church, heard the congregational songs, and before the sermon even began, this person said, "I'm going to get saved today." Did you know that you can make a choice today if God's already been touching you and you know you need to be saved, that you can go ahead and decide that when invitation begins, with the Lord's help, you're going to take that step and get it settled. That's necessary if you want to have the kind of joy that we're going to talk about, because it begins at salvation. You can't have the kind of joy we're talking about without Jesus. You have to have Him. So let's take a look. With that in mind, let's take a look at verse 24. Of Luke chapter 1. Stand with me, we'll read our text. Luke chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says, "After those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived." That is the life, or rather the wife of Zacharias, conceived. "And hid herself 5 months, saying this, 'Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men.'" This morning, the joy of motherhood. Father, I pray your blessings on the message, that it would touch hearts, please. We love you. We thank you for grace. We thank you for the joy that we have in Jesus. Pray for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I was interested if there has been any hymn songs written for mothers. You know, I like to just consider songs that relate to a special day, you know, like if there's a day coming up and like Christmas, and we sing Christmas songs, or we have Thanksgiving, we sing songs about being thankful. So I wonder if there's any songs about Mother's Day. The first song that came up, the first hymnal that came up was "As I Kneel Before You." Thinking about Mother's Day, "As I Kneel Before You." Of course, we're kneeling before the Lord, but I couldn't help but think, man, mothers need to have that blessing. How about this? Where can I turn for peace? Somebody said something about Mother's Day this morning, and I thought, you know, if mom's happy, then really almost everybody else is happy, right? Where can I turn for peace? Although we know the answer is Christ, it is deserving that we would understand the important role of moms. If you've minimized the role of being a mom or a grandma, then you've minimized one of the greatest responsibilities in the whole world, and the privileges. Have you ever heard this? Your mom deserves a medal. I think the emphasis isn't on mom or medal. I think the emphasis is on your mom. If your mom spent however many years with you, she deserves a medal. Or maybe we could say it like this. Have you heard this? I hope you have 7 children that are just like you. You've ever heard that? I've heard that. My mom, I think, laughs sometimes about how my kids act. Just crazy sometimes, you know, we get a laugh out of that. You know, moms have their times, and that's understandable, but I think that we need to remember that it's a privilege to be a mom. It's a privilege to be a dad. It's a privilege to be a mom. I would admit that parenting is frustrating. Also, that if I was mom, then life would be a lot different for my kids. If I was mom, dads can relate to this, I think. Just the other day, Melissa was making sandwich. They were going on a field trip for co-op, and so they're going to this what was that thing? The milk, where there's cows and milking, all that sounds fun, right? So they're gonna have that, and she's making sack lunches for the boys, and I'm sitting at the table, and we had finished our morning devotion, and she's in the kitchen, and she's making their sandwiches for them. And she's saying this. She's asking them, what do you want on your sandwich? And they're saying, well, I want turkey, or I want ham, or I want... And they're just giving all these made-to-order things, right? And I couldn't help but think, if that was me, I would never ask that question. I would never ask my kids what they wanted on their sandwich. I would just make the sandwiches. And then when we get there, if they complain about it, I would eat it. I'm not kidding. That's how it would happen. And so, yeah, you guys are blessed to have moms that care. Kids can be frustrating when you go to restaurants. You know, that I read this book that says you need to let your kids make their own orders because it helps them to mature faster. I really try to do this. Okay, I try to. For example, you understand, Runza, we're standing there in front of the counter, and I begin everything off. And I had already been thinking about it. If I know we're going to Runza, I started thinking about it 6 hours ago. I know exactly what I'm going to eat. So I just say it. And then Melissa, she says what she wants. And then we get to the first one, not to name anybody off. But he's standing there like, are we at a restaurant? Where are we at? Oh, this is Runza? What do they have here? Hamburgers? By that time, I'm like, I'm going to order for you, okay? Because I can't do this 4 times, you know? And by the time we get to the last one, oh, it's the worst. So moms are a lot more patient than dads. I thank the Lord for it. I think that is an illustration, though, of how frustrating it can be to be a parent sometimes. Sometimes it's not easy to be joyful. You know, they say, you know when you go to Walmart and then you have the Walmart scene? Don't act like you've never had the Walmart scene, okay? We've all done it. We make fun of the people who do it every time they go to Walmart. Or we feel bad for them. We're like, man. Or the kid's laying on the ground and the mom's dragging him, you know, like, ah! She's just dragging him, you know. I mean, maybe we didn't go that far, but we've all had the scene at Walmart. You get it. Here's the thing that, let's not judge people too much too soon about that, because you haven't been with that child for 12 hours that day already. You know, I'm like, when we get home, you're yelling at me like, I can't believe that parent would be that way. I think that you probably might be that way if you were 12 hours with that child too. So, you know, the point is this. It's not always easy to enjoy the process. I mean, we have our moments when we realize, wow, I'm not enjoying this. And then we try to start enjoying it that day. And then they do it. There's so many different ways they can mess things up. And so it just like, I'm really trying to enjoy this process, but they keep making it, I feel like, impossible for me. And so we go through these seasons where it's not all that easy. It's not all that easy sometimes. Some of us maybe more than others, but Elizabeth here, she wasn't a mom. She hadn't been a mom. Suddenly she knows the joy of being a mom. And what she had in this moment, what we have in this moment really is a picture for us, is a woman who understood the joy of being a mom for the first time, who thought she never would get to be. And what she did is she embraced it. She embraced it. And that response should remind us of the joy that God wants us to have all the way through the process of motherhood, of fatherhood. Elizabeth had a baby. His name would be John. This is significant because she was not a young lady. We saw that actually in one of our verses before. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Look what he said next. For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. So God delivered a message, you're going to have a baby. And Zacharias says, hang on a second. I think we're past due on this. I think it's a little bit too late for us. I mean, I think maybe you missed the call here. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, actually. And what great news. What great news. Look at verse 13. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And so we know that he was praying for a son. We know that he and Elizabeth both were excited to have, wanted to, had been for years wanting to have children and never having the ability to do this. And now they're getting the report, verse 17, he shall go before him. This is going to be John. This is the son you're going to have. He shall go before him, that is before Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he's a forerunner. This is a prophesied of in Malachi and in Isaiah, that this man would come and he would be the forerunner, the announcer of the coming of the Messiah. And that was going to be John the Baptist. And Zacharias said, well, hang on, I know about the forerunner. I know about the announcer, the one who's going to come and prepare the way, as the scripture says, for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But I think you got the wrong guy because I'm a little bit too old for this. You know, I think sometimes as moms and dads, and we feel not overqualified to be a mom, but underqualified. We have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month, or we're waiting for the good day, you know. And it's been a challenge, and we wonder, God, did you get the right one for this? Maybe I'm not the right one who's supposed to fulfill this role as being the influence and example of being the mom to the children. God says, I didn't make a mistake, Zacharias. It's you. I didn't make a mistake. It's Elizabeth. You're the ones. And you're going to be the ones who are going to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. The problem wasn't that Zacharias didn't know that the prophecy was there. The problem wasn't that Zacharias didn't believe the Bible. By the way, if an angel shows up and starts reporting a message, you would think that would be enough of a sign that God's working, right? Have you ever felt like, okay, so have you ever felt like God wanted you to do something, then when you really thought about it, you're like, oh no. You know, that was me when God called me to be a pastor. I was like, oh Lord, what an honor. I just can't believe you called me to be a pastor. What an honor this is, you know. That wasn't me. When I knew in my heart that God wanted me to be a pastor at 17 years old, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh no. I'm not kidding. That was the first two words in my mind. Is that two words? Oh, yeah, two words. Oh no, that's it. God, I think you messed up here. That was Zacharias. He said, Lord, I think you messed up. We're too old for this. I think you should pick a younger person. But God doesn't make mistakes, does he? God doesn't make mistakes. I didn't get enough amens. I got a little bit of an amen there. We should have had more, I think. God doesn't make mistakes, does he? No, he doesn't. Praise God. So when he touches you, he's not messed up. In Sunday school, we talked about this, and we didn't have very many people in Sunday school. So, you know, this is so embarrassing. Have you ever waved at somebody who was waving at you, but come to find out they weren't waving at you? And then you're like, what do you do? I mean, you're caught. You're just toast. You're embarrassed. You just got to eat it, right? Well, I think sometimes we feel God does that. Like God's waving. He's trying to get your attention, and you're like, Lord, maybe there's somebody else you're trying to get a hold of here. I know we're distracted. Everybody, look at Ava. Bye, Ava.
Bye, Ava.
Let me say that again. Sometimes we're distracted. No, God's waving. He's trying to get your attention. He's saying, you, you're the one. I have a job for you. I have a ministry for you. I have a responsibility for you. And you're thinking, I don't think you've got the right guy here, God. I think maybe you messed up here. But God doesn't mess up. So if he's touching you, you're not going to get... Zechariah said, God, how are we going to know this for sure? God, give me a sign. He wanted a sign. Some of us do that, don't we? And God's already touched you. He's already said, I want you. He's already said, you're the one. He works this way in salvation. By the way, can I say he works this way in salvation and then in every other way he works the same way? You don't get saved. You get saved once. It's like Jesus. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I love that analogy, don't you, being born? How many times did you do that? Once. Praise God for moms, because two on that part. Miss Chelsea just had Nora, and she's a sweetheart. God willing, we'll maybe get to see her tonight. I don't know. We're hopeful that she feels well enough. Of course, there's no pressure there, but can't wait to see baby Nora. But you know, Miss Chelsea's happy. She doesn't have to do this two times. So being born is a big deal. It only happens once. You have one birthday, one actual birthday. And so when Jesus said you must be born again, meaning you need to get born in the world, you need to be born spiritually, the analogy means you don't do it twice.
Right.
You don't get saved and then unsaved. You don't get saved and then mess up and then lose your salvation. Goodness gracious, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? If we had, listen, God, you got me saved. Thank you for that. Now it's up to me to keep it. Aren't you glad that that's not how it works? Because if it was up to us to keep it, we'd lose it next week. Some of us wouldn't even make it to tonight. You know, I'd probably say most of us wouldn't even make it to tonight. He saves us. He keeps us. We're in His hand, safe and secure. But here's the point. He's not going to do anything more for you than touch you and call you and speak to you. And if that has already happened, if you already know in here that God wants you to be saved, but you're waiting for a sign, you're not going to get another sign. You're not going to get a message in the clouds or a message in the stars or on the side of a truck that drove by one day that has your name on it with these words after it. You need to get saved. It's a sign. You know, he already gave you a sign. He touched you. And that's enough. It's enough. So you got to move. You got to move. But it's that way after salvation too. He works in you. He calls you. He speaks to you. And he does this. It's a process. We talked about it Wednesday night. He changes us from glory to glory. Little change after little change. He touches us and we change. He touches us and we change. It's how it works. That's why you need to be faithful to church. You get out of church, you're not going to be touched by God. Start missing, and you're not in your Bible. You're not reading your Bible. Some of us, we think it's good enough I come to church, you know. But you know, it is good that you come to church. It's not good enough that you come to church. You need to read your Bible too. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. That word daily is kind of important, right? Does that mean go to church every day? Some of us would be okay with that, wouldn't we? Some of us, maybe it just means read our Bible every day. Because we need it. We need God to touch us every single day, changing us to be more like Him. That was enough of a sign. Zacharias felt like he needed more. Sometimes we get stuck there too. But it wasn't. He didn't need anything more. I love it because God can use us. Remember Isaiah 6 when God said, who will go? Some of you, exactly. You're getting ahead of me. God said to Isaiah, he said, who will go? And Isaiah said, I don't know if he did that. I mean, he's probably the only one there, right? God says, who will go? And there's one person. Remember Miss Marilyn? We'd have, before Brother Eric came, he was our second member, you know. But we had Miss Marilyn. And it was, I remember those early years. When on Sunday nights, it was just Miss Marilyn. Because Melissa's in the nursery with Ethan and Andrew. And maybe Caleb's in here. But he's in La La Land somewhere, you know. I mean, he's not today. He's grown up, very mature. Good guy. Loves the Lord. But in those days, man, he's like, whew, he is not with us. And so he could be here somewhere. But I remember, because I would stand here and I would have the podium here. I wouldn't stand up there. How weird is that? One person and I'm behind the pulpit. You know, I wouldn't do that. So I'd stand right here, and Miss Marilyn always sat right there on the farthest chair. And I would sometimes say this to Miss Marilyn, because I prepared this sermon, right? I'd say, I know this is going to feel like I'm only preaching at you, you know. You're the only one here. I mean, other than me. So, Isaiah, God says, who will go for us? Maybe he was the only one there, but he said this word. He said these words, here am I, send me. That is the surrender that's needful to be used. Can I say that being the kind of mom that God wants you to be, moms and grandmas, whether or not Ethan understands it, grandmas are moms too. You want to be the kind of mom that God wants you to be? You want to be a joyful mom? Joyful. It's not your ability, it's your availability. God just wants to work through you. And when we make ourselves available, like Isaiah who said, here am I, send me, then God can work in us and he can work through us. So Elizabeth, as the scene changes from Zacharias to Elizabeth, she gets news that she's going to have a child. Now this would have been shocking. Look at verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. I kind of got stuck there. Because the 5 month thing sort of caught me. I don't know if we read over that and you thought, well, what does that mean? Like, why did she hide herself for 5 months? Now, if you're a mom and you read that, maybe you don't think that's unusual at all. In fact, you would not mind separating yourself for 5 months either, you know. So you think, I could use a break, you know, I could use the getaway. But Elizabeth here wasn't needing a break. Let me give you a few potential reasons, and then I'll tell you the one reason we know for sure. And there's a reason I'm giving you these potentials. I read about this. One reason that she went away for 5 months could have been, this writer said, maybe she did this to save herself from the potential pain of reproach from her neighbors if things didn't work out. And so she withdrew, and that she might not deliver an unhealthy child and then be proven wrong. The writer then affirmed that the excitement around the pregnancy of Elizabeth would have been high. And so, in other words, she would have wanted to, maybe, this writer thinks, to save the potential embarrassment of things not going as planned. So she separated herself until things were well on the way. Another reason could have been that it was an allusion to the end times. This one's a little bit more of a stretch. But he reports that when you put all the timeline together, it sort of shows a chronology of from the infancy to a sequence of results to an allusion to Daniel's 70 weeks, which is a reference to the second coming of Jesus. And you're thinking, well, that seems like a lot. But he said maybe that was why she separated for 5 months. Then he said this, maybe she went in seclusion to give herself to just praise and thank the Lord. Maybe. Maybe she set herself to prepare for the birth of the important child, to just get ready. And then he said the birth needed to be kept a secret for 5 months just to come out at the proper time. So maybe that's it. Another writer said this. He said the reason she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months was because everybody knew she had been barren for all of her life, all of these years. And if she suddenly announced that she was pregnant with no evidence, to support that, then no one would have believed her, and this would have only have added to her disgrace that she felt already in her heart. And so all these potential reasons, why did I share them with you? Maybe just to say that women are complicated. Amen. And if you think you've got them, our ladies, figured out, then you've just fooled yourself. Because there's complication there. But here's one thing that I can say for sure, is that setting all the conjecture aside, all the guesses aside, one thing we know is she was overjoyed. She was filled with joy. And that's touching. Should be. If you're a mom here this morning, should be touching. She found out she was going to be a mom. Overjoyed. Special, isn't it? We live in a sad day, don't we? I'm glad Roe versus Wade potentially is going to be overturned, aren't you? Doesn't mean that abortion's going to end. Doesn't mean that. Maybe help, though, won't it? I don't want to go on about that, but let me say that Elizabeth was overjoyed. She was excited. I'm going to have a baby. I'm excited about it. Verse 24, look what it says. Last phrase, she hid herself 5 months. And then it says saying. So this is why she hid herself. At least one reason we know. She hid herself. And this is what she said. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me. Did you catch that? Thus hath the, next word, Lord. God has blessed me. She goes on, in the days when he, being God, looked upon me to take away my reproach. She said, God dealt with me. God took away my reproach. God gave me a blessing. God is working in this area of being a mom. I get to be a mom. This is a joyful thing. This is a blessing. This is an opportunity. This is a privilege. And she's overwhelmed by it. So overwhelmed, she has to get away for 5 months just to grab a hold of how amazing this is. One writer said this, "This report is an expression of Elizabeth's heart." And if that doesn't make you at least feel a little bit of tears welling up in your heart, nothing will. Listen to what he said. "This report is an expression of Elizabeth's heart." And so we know for certain that somehow her separation was related to her joy. She was thankful to the Lord. She was happy. And that is to be sure. She's finally going to have a baby. And she just can't get over it. Elizabeth was a joyful mom. She understood what it was to be blessed of God. And I think that you and I this morning need to never forget that it's a joyful thing to be a mom. Sometimes we're not overjoyed about the process, are we? Sometimes you forget how blessed you are. I mean, sometimes you forget to enjoy it. Enjoy what? Our kids. Sometimes we forget to enjoy them. I remember this was years ago when the boys were little. We still were in St. Joe and serving on staff, serving in the ministry there, and have the little ones. And Brother Marshall, you know, called me aside and he was making an observation about my parenting. And in a gracious way, just wanted to just send me a gracious warning. And he said, "Listen, you're kind of hard on your kids, and they're so little." And I felt like, well, I guess I had told myself they need to act a certain way. And there is discipline that needs to be there. So I'm not saying we need to be allow our kids to be unruly. But I was so focused on their discipline that if they just did something, anything wrong, and that's how I was. And Brother Marshall was like, "Okay, we're going to have a talk, because It's not just about them. It's about you enjoying this. And then he looked at me with his almost tear-filled eyes, and he said, because one day they're going to be gone, and then you're going to wish that you enjoyed it. But you can't go back and do it again after they're gone, can you? And I thought, oh man, that's convicting. And then I'm like, oh, easy, yeah, I can just start enjoying it. No problem. Thank you, Brother Marshall, easy. Problem fixed! No, problem not fixed. Then I realized, wow, enjoying the process of raising my children, enjoying the process of being a mom, I'm not a mom, but being a dad, but it applies to moms, that just enjoying this process is a choice that we have to make. And you can't make it without Jesus, can you? You can't just start enjoying stuff and do it in your own strength, because then what are you leaning on is not joy. We call what is rightfully called happiness, instead of calling it happiness, we call it joy. And there's a distinct difference between happiness and joy. Maybe you don't understand this. But happiness is related to circumstances. It always is related to circumstances. The meaning of the word, the root word of happiness is hap. Or happen. And so the way you'll be happy is if something happens, like good behavior. If you have good behavior, then I will be happy. If you have bad behavior, therefore, by implication, if you have bad behavior, which will happen, then I will not be happy. But God says it doesn't have to be that way. Joy is something that can be constant whether their behavior is good or bad. So how do you have that? Jesus Christ. He's the only way that you can have joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, friends. God wants us to enjoy the process, but we have to make a choice to parent our kids through Christ, through His help. If you had a happy mom growing up, a joyful mom growing up, and it was consistent, Likely it was a choice that she was making. Because I'm telling you, moms and dads, you used to be kids. And if you'll remember back to those days, you might not have been as easy as you thought you were. So how did our parents have a sweet spirit when we are at our worst? When they were making a choice to do that. And so the joy that God wants us to have in parenting our kids is truly a choice that we make. Can I tell you that God wants you to enjoy the process? He doesn't want you to get the... Well, listen, what a privilege it is to sing with my family. And these, I'm going to tell you with honesty, and I'm not... I know I was teasing about patting myself on the back on Wednesday night. For those of you who are here, I was just teasing about that. I have nothing to pat myself on the back about, and I mean that honestly. But as the kids are up here singing, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking these guys are a blessing. I mean, I can say that honestly. Do they always demonstrate themselves in a manner that warrants me saying, you're being a blessing right now? No, because they are always in their behavior a blessing. But they're a blessing. And even in those difficult times, whenever I want to just blow my stack, just me. I mean, most of us, probably you never do that. But just so I want to blow my stack and I want to just... And I want to do that, you know? And words are being said, not mumbling. But that the Lord would help me to have joy in those times. It's a choice you have to make. Because if you don't decide... In context like this, when God's touching you about this... My hope is that He is. That in those moments, if circumstances are good, then you'll be happy. If they're bad, you're not going to be happy. What are you mostly going to be? You're mostly going to be an unhappy parent. You're going to be mostly an unhappy mom or dad. It's kind of a parenting sermon, I guess. But you're not going to be happy in the process if you're waiting for things to be right, like circumstantially. So what do we need? We need God's help to have joy through the process. to enjoy them in every step. And I can tell you, after that meeting with Brother Marshall, and I started to realize, started to see that I was not enjoying it. I was just getting irritated with them messing up and throwing stuff on the ground and spilling their cereal. And every morning, I'm like, how can you do this every day? How can it happen every single day? And then we try the bowls that stick to the table. They can figure out how to spill that too. So it doesn't matter what we do. And they just keep messing up. I'm like, I can't do this. But we can. If we have God's help, we can be what God wants us to be. That's what it means to have an understanding and making a choice. I'm gonna make a choice to have joy in this process, and with the Lord's help, then I won't look back whenever they're graduated. And mercy, if you think about the effect that having a joyful home will have on your kids, we talked about that. Was this last week? We had did a parenting sermon last week too, didn't we? So we talked about, number one, there were five characteristics of John the Baptist, and number one was that he would be delightful. And how do you raise delightful kids? You be delightful. And so if you're a mom in the home and you're joyful, and you'll get to the end of this thing and you'll look back and you'll see where your kids have gone in life, because they went here and they went there and they did this career and they did, or did that career. They got married to this person, they got married to that person. You finally have what really matters in life is grandkids, right? Or at least I heard that. So Miss Sherry, is that true? So we have all of this, and now we have all these things that we can look at and say, look at all these blessings. But what we won't do, and what I don't want you to do, is to look back with regret. I don't want you to look back, moms and dads. Some of us may already, and that's okay, because we can start where we are and be a joyful grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. We can start now, okay? And you, I don't want you to look back. I don't want you to look back at the process and say, I didn't enjoy it. Yeah, maybe they're serving God, or maybe they're in church, or maybe there's all these blessings, and maybe I have grandkids, but did God really want me to enjoy the whole process? He does. He wants you to have joy through the whole thing. You know what they say, empty nest? Is that a real thing? Empty nest, real? I don't know, but I do. I can't think it is, because before we had kids, we talk about those days a lot. We remember them. But then we had kids and we just don't have a lot of memory. So I think emptiness is a real thing. That was a joke, by the way. So empty nest. What is that? Well, I'm just looking forward to the day when they all move out. Wait a second. Why? Let's just enjoy the whole thing. Let's just enjoy where they are right now. You know, we used to tell Andrew, remember, he's in here. If he was in here, I think I'd still say this, but we used to tell him when he was little, don't ever grow up. He just was always so cute in everything he did, you know? And I was like, man, just don't ever grow up. And then he started getting taller. I'm like, stop it! You're getting big! You need to stop! You know, and he keeps growing up, because you can't stop it. But you know what? One thing that I think we can say with confidence, at least since that day we had that talk, that I really tried, Lord, with your help, help me to enjoy this. And I can tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes as a dad. But one thing I haven't done is neglected to enjoy the process. I don't have any regrets. And I don't want to start now. I was cranky last week. I feel bad about it. But he convicts me. And then he helps me to get it sorted out. Let me give you some statements and we're done. Don't put your Bible away yet. I know some of you already started. Just hang on a sec. Let me say these and then put your Bible away. Number one, determine to remember that you are blessed if you are a mom. Number two, never let the joy of the process leave your mind. That's a Selah statement, isn't it? Stop and think about it. Never let the joy leave your mind. Number three, don't wake up one day with your children gone and wish you'd been thankful. A couple of questions. Would you this morning decide to rekindle the joy of motherhood with a thankful spirit? Would you decide today to enjoy the process? And if you're lost, and you don't really understand joy versus happiness, would you be willing to come today and get it settled by turning your heart to Christ, who is the beginner of joy? Father, this morning we need you. We confess without you, we don't have any hope. hope for joy. We all have hope for joy. Lord, our moms need your help. Our dads need your help. Our kids need your help. One day, they'll be moms and dads too. And they can make decisions today to be the kind of child that would be a blessing. And that one day they would receive that blessing too. And whatever it is you're doing in the hearts of your people, give us courage to take steps of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.